It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, May 3rd. I'm Patricia Naft. The Colorado Supreme Court struck down limits on fracking in two Colorado cities. Our Inside Energy reporter Dan Boyce tells us the rulings could have big implications for future drilling in the state.
Officials from Longmont and Fort Collins aren't saying much yet. Fort Collins Public Relations Coordinator Emily Wilmson.
It's premature for us to comment until we've had a chance to review the decision.
Longmont's response was short. The mayor there says it wasn't what his city wanted, but he respects the court's decision. Here's what the city's lost. Longmont, an outright ban on fracking, and Fort Collins, a five-year moratorium. Both illegal now. Supreme Court justices were unanimous in their opinion that state laws preempted the local policies. Voters in the cities had approved the fracking limits several years ago, and it was the state's preeminent industry group, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, that challenged them. COGA President Dan Haley applauds the decision, saying bans are not the right way to deal with local concerns over drilling. Rather, relevant stakeholders should be brought together in these communities from the beginning.
And work through a process that allows oil and gas companies to develop our natural resources while protecting air, water, and citizens.
Attorneys in other places with fracking limits, like Boulder, Lafayette, and Boulder and Broomfield counties, are left to examine the ruling. None of those places were mentioned in Monday's court decision, but Haley says the message for them is clear.
Other municipalities or counties that have moratoriums or bans in place should voluntarily withdraw them at this point.
Meanwhile, activists for a handful of proposed anti-oil and gas ballot measures remain undaunted. Cliff Wilming is gathering signatures for one called the Colorado Community Rights Amendment. He isn't surprised by the court's decision and blames big business.
It says that the corporate legal authority is more substantial than our ability to protect our fundamental rights where we live.
His group's amendment to the state constitution would give more authority to local governments in conflicts with industry. He hopes the court's decision galvanizes support for the cause. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
The Bureau of Land Management will hold a special meeting in Montrose this evening. They received a few new grants for recreation development, and they're looking to hear from citizens about what they want. This is Sharon Borders with the BLM.
Anything's on the table, you know, from biking to hiking to horseback riding to motorized uses, you name it, everything's on the table.
They're still working out how much money is made available through the grants. The meeting, which is the first of its kind for the BLM in Montrose, will take place at 6 o'clock at the Holiday Inn. The Colorado Energy Office recently received a report looking at coal mines in the state, but it wasn't about coal. It was about the mine's waste. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Methane is vented from coal mines, and most mines either just let it go up to the atmosphere or burn it off. Chris Worley is with the COE.
Colorado's renewable energy standard requires electric utilities in the state to generate a certain portion of their electricity from clean and renewable energy sources. The law really requires those utilities to seek out and find clean and renewable energies to bring online to their systems.
One of the avenues they've looked into is using all the methane that's otherwise going to waste.
So about 80% of the potential in the state is in the North Fork Valley area or near Somerset.
There's enough methane in North Fork from current and abandoned mines to provide 25 megawatts of economically viable electricity.
It reduces greenhouse gas emissions. It generates clean electricity. And so we want to figure out how we can get more interest from coal mines, more interest from project developers, more interest from utilities around the state.
The requirement for the electrical companies begins in the year 2020. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
With less than 2 weeks left in the state's annual legislative session, lawmakers still have some big items they want to tackle. Benta Berkland sat down with State House reporters as part of our Capitol Conversation series to discuss the end of the session.
I'm here with John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Ramsey Scott with the Colorado Statesman. John, only a few days left, but still a lot of items for lawmakers to discuss.
That's right, and these final 8 days will largely define the entire session because there are so many big-ticket items still out there. We've got construction defects, hospital provider fee, a new effort to move to a primary for the presidential race here in Colorado, as well as a number of bills dealing with beer and liquor sales in grocery stores. There's a lot to watch for, and a lot of these items, in fact, are part of the governor's agenda for the session. His top priorities are still outstanding.
Governor Hickenlooper seems to be optimistic that some of these items that he's had on his agenda since the beginning of the session will actually be able to gain some traction and see the light of the day, including the primary bill, which he believes that by the time it's all said and done, the momentum behind it will have gained some traction and it'll actually see some success.
There is a balancing act because some of these big policy changes, stakeholders work together a long time, sometimes behind closed doors, to try to iron out the kinks. But then there comes a point where it needs a public hearing and a debate. John, it only takes 3 days for a bill to pass at the State House, but these complicated issues can take a lot longer. So the question is, have they waited too late on some of these things?
And not only that, but the calendar's backed up with dozens of other bills, and they still have a lot to do. We're highlighting the major issues, but there are a dozen more bills still to be done. So time is of the essence, and it will take a lot of political will to really push things over the finish line at this point.
Ramsey, do you think they're going to have that will as we're gearing into election season? It's already been here, but they're going to be out of the Capitol soon and campaigning full-time for a lot of them.
If I knew that answer, I'd be buying a lot of lottery tickets as well. I think that there is going to be some movement on construction defects and on some other issues like that. But whether or not it actually gets done and sees the light of day, I'm a little suspect that a lot of the priorities will get finished. I think construction defects, something will happen. But, you know, the primary bill, it could be dead on arrival in the Senate just because of the backlash against it.
It's deja vu. We were here at this exact same point last session with construction defects still on the table, with a primary bill on the table. We saw nothing happen with either of those. And this is an election year, so there's a lot higher stakes for these lawmakers. This entire session has really been about these political message bills, you know, setting up the arguments for November. And these final days may be about just continuing that message about which party's better than the other.
John, you're right. I mean, there's just been message bill after message bill that has been getting a lot of the effort. And these other issues, whether it be liquor store, whether it be construction defect or primary, are almost afterthoughts in this session, just because I think this is more about preparing yourselves for November as opposed to working towards May.
Thanks. That was Ramsey Scott with the Colorado Statesman and John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.